Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Bamsia is the Tzadi Dalin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Lezech and Ishmael Slipa Gavela Bashmuel. On the bottom side, Gimel Amanal, we're starting with our Mishnah. Okay, this Mishnah could have been said a long time ago in the Bavas. This is a Mishnah regarding the Shomrim. We're formally in the seventh parak of Bamitzia. We're finishing the seventh parak of Bamitzia, and this Mishnah is really just a general statement regarding Shomrim. It's kind of the Mishnah where we need to know this Mishnah throughout the Bavas. Bavas comes through Basra, but okay, it's found on page 93 of Bamitzia. That's just simply how Toshe Baal Peh works. So Arba Shomrim Maim, therefore. So the Mishnah lists the four Shomrims. The first one is the Shomer Chinam. That's a watchman who is watched to safeguard something, but doesn't get paid. The next one is the Shoel. That's somebody who borrows something with a right of usage. Those are really the two extremes, like we've said already a number of times. When describing a Shomer, so basically there is just a spectrum of no benefit to all benefit. And the Mishnah over here paints the two extreme categories. The Shomer Chinam, so he gets no benefit. All he's doing is basically a favor for somebody else. I'm watching an item for somebody else. I'm not getting paid, so I'm getting zero benefit. So as you can imagine, his liability is going to be at the lowest end. Masha'in came to Shoel, he gets all benefit. He's borrowing something. He's not paying for the item that he's borrowing. So truth be told is that the other person's really doing him a favor. So his level of liability is going to be all the way at the other end. And we're going to discuss liability. That's going to be our discussion for the first part of today's daf. So no tzitzachar v'asocher. Now, as far as people now who are in the middle, meaning they're making usage of something, well, no tzitzachar and socher are two different people, but could be that they're really holding in the same category. No tzitzachar, somebody who's watching something but getting paid to watch it. So therefore, you are getting some benefit in that you're getting paid. Socher, you're making usage of the item, but you're paying for that usage. It's called renting. So these two now are somewhere in the middle. Exactly where do they find themselves in the middle? Well, we're going to be discussing. So Shomer Chinam Nishmala Kol. So as far as the Shomer Chinam is concerned, so he swears over everything. Meaning, anything that happens to the animal, he is going to be potter. Of course, there's an exception if he's poshea, if he's negligent, which we'll talk about later on this morning. But outside of gross negligence, he's going to be potter. Now the shoel is going to be paying for everything because he has usage of the item, and because he's not paying for that usage, so he's getting the most benefit, and therefore he's going to be liable for every case. And again, when I say every case, also with exception, mesa kedarka, mesa machmas malacha. Right? If you're driving the car, and while driving the car dies. Okay, so that's something that's, you know, it fell apart out of regular usage, so you're going to be potter. But short of that, you're always going to be chai for a shawal. And notice, now, with these middle category of a nosisachar and a socher, somebody who is either getting paid to watch or renting the item, so they're going to be making the following shvua. If it breaks, or if it is taken into captivity, or if it dies, not dies out of work. In other words, it just dies on its own. So they're going to make it, they're making a shvua under those categories. However, mishamim misaveda v'segneva. But what they're going to do is they're going to pay for geneva v'aveda. Some of the item was stolen from them. They were confronted with guns, we'll talk about that later this morning. But in other words, geneva, somebody came in the middle of the night and just stole from them. So they're going to have to pay for that, and aveda, and if they lost the item. So these are things which are closer to pshia, they're closer to negligence, and therefore they're going to be liable for those things. All right. So we have in the Mishnah now four different types of shomrim, but really it's four shomrim. It's really three categories, and according to our Mishnah. Right, Shoel on one end, Shomer Chinam on the other end, and then the middle, Shomer Socher and Socher. Now, Mantan Arba Shomrim. So, who is of the opinion that there are four Shomrim? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Rabbi Meir Hi. So, it is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Amar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman, Mika Deleisle Arba Shomrim. What do you mean? What kind of exchange was that? Who holds a four Shomrim when we give an answer? Who doesn't hold a four Shomrim? So the Gemara says, Amar Le Hachi Kamin Alach. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The question was misunderstood. This is what I meant. Mantana socher kenosei socher. This is the question. Meaning, in the Torah, it is written, a shomer chinam, a shoel, and a shomer socher. The Torah does not tell us what the halacha would be regarding a socher. It is now our responsibility, not us, but it is the Chacham's responsibility now to tell us where to put socher. So the Mishnah tells us where to put socher. The Mishnah tells us that socher belongs with a shomer socher. So whose opinion is that? So Rabbi Meir, he said, that's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, now we understand the exchange. The exchange had nothing to do with what are the four, who holds the four shomrim? Everyone holds the four shomrim. Everyone has four categories. It's just a question of where to put the four categories. V'ha Rabbi Meir, Yibchesh Amin Allah, the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. I know that Rabbi Meir does not agree to that. D'tanya socher ketzah mishalim. The question of how does a socher pay? Rabbi Meir, Omer kishomer chinam. And we have a brisa that says that according to Rabbi Meir, a socher is like a shomer. And just again, from a point of svara, I know we've said this in the past, but it's worthwhile to go over. Just from a point of svara, it makes total sense that a socher should belong in the category of a shomer chinam. Why? Because a shomer chinam doesn't get any benefit, and it's all responsibility. Now, a socher, it's true that he gets usage, but he pays for that usage. So him paying for that usage kind of offsets the usage. So now, if you're paying for that usage, so and the payment and the usage offset one another, so where are we? Back at shomer chinam. Meaning, and we discussed this in the past, meaning the svara, that a socher really belongs categorically in a shomer chinam. Our problem right now is that we have Shitas Rav Meir, who says that a socher is like a shomer chinam. And Rav Yehuda Amar kishomer socher. Rav Yehuda says like a shomer socher. And so where does that bring us? It brings us now to the point where, how could you say our mission is going like Rav Meir? We know that according to Rav Meir, a socher is a shomer chinam. So Rav Baravua ifcha katani. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Baravua has it flipped. So the Gemara says, sorry. Iachi arba shlosha ninu. So the Gemara says, so why keep telling me that there are four? There really are three. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak dalat shomrim v'dinayim shlosha. So again, just in terms of a correction, there are four shomrim, but there are three halachas to the four shomrim. Okay. Adkan. Okay, so we have now a Mishnah telling us, introducing us to the topic of Dalat Shomrim, and just a question of who the Mishnah subscribes to, and here we begin. This Gemara, from here until the next Mishnah, is really just some important discussions in the Gemara in terms of giving us basic definitions of what's Ones, what's not Ones, what's Pshia. Okay, but again, let's just review what we already know. Shomer chinam. Shomer chinam is going to be exempt from having to pay everything. And the only time that the shomer chinam is going to have to pay is only if he's posheya, only if he's negligent. A shomer sachar, and according to our Mishnah, a socher, the same category. So the a shomer sachar, so he's going to be chayav b'gneiva v'aveda. So what does that mean, he's chayav b'gneiva v'aveda? Meaning if something happens that he could have prevented, but he just wasn't careful enough, so then he's going to be chayiv. And the shoel is going to go even one step further. The shoel is going to be chayiv even afilu ba'onsin. Even if it was something that was totally beyond his control, he's going to be chayiv because he's a shoel, and you're chayiv for onsin as well. So those are our three categories, and what we're doing now, from here until the next Mishnah, is basically we're going to highlight various cases and assess what is considered ones, what's not considered ones, etc., etc. Story number one. Ha'urai da'karaya chiyusa aguda danar papa. So there was a shepherd who was watching animals, shepherding animals, by the bank of the Papa River. Okay, recently we also had the Papa River. Okay. Anyway, sari chada minav enough lalamaya. One of the animals slipped, fell, and it landed right in the water, and died in the water. Also coming to Rabba. So now he goes to Rabba, and sorry. So he goes to Rabba Upatri. So and Rabba says, okay. In other words, that's what shepherds do. Shepherds have their animals grazing by the bank of the river. One of them fell in. Okay. I don't feel that he should be liable. Why? My havale lamevod. What should he have done? We're now in the top of Tzadikim Amud Beis. Hanatar kidinatra inshi. He handled it textbook. This is exactly how shepherds shepherd the animal. They go to the bank of the river. Grazing apparently over there is really good. That's what all the shepherds do. And so, this is exactly textbook shepherding. Something happens, I'm going to put this under the category of onis. something that was beyond his control, and therefore Rabbah says, I feel that he's Pater. So Amale Abaye, so Abaye says, oh, wait 1 second. So you're telling me that if you're a, as long as you follow the rules, and as long as you do things textbook, so then anything that happens is considered unforeseen, falls under the category of owners, you're going to be Pater. So Abaye now wants to push this out as much as he can. So Amale Abaye, so let me ask you. You know, generally speaking, people go into the, shepherds take a little bit of a break. Okay, again, I'm not in the shepherding business, so I'm not holding by these breaks, so I don't fully understand, but it doesn't matter. So, but it was a standard practice, where at a certain point in time, the shepherds come in and they to the city, and they grab themselves a coffee, they go to the local Starbucks, and then they go back out and they continue shepherding. So you mean to tell me, Abaye says to Rabbah, that if you are a shomer sachar, you're a paid watchman, and you're watching these animals, and now, okay, fine, it's coffee break, and we all go into the city, so you're telling me that if something happens during that point in time, he's going to be Pater? And Rabbah's response is going to be, yeah, that's right. That's right. Meaning, if that's the common practice, so then I'm going to tell you, as long as you're doing the normal routine that everyone else does, anything that happens at that point in time is an onus. So, So Rabbah's response is, yeah, absolutely. So, now, gana porta beida digandu inshi, what about siesta? Okay, let's bring siesta back. Okay, in the afternoon, people take a nap. And again, it was common practice that people take a nap. So again, you're going to tell me that while the shepherd is taking a nap, something happens to one of the animals, and you want to tell me that that's onus, and hachinami depater, and you want to tell me that he's going to be exempt, I'm really in. And again, Rabbah's response is, yeah, that's right. Meaning again, if this is normal practice, so then it does not violate any kind, it doesn't qualify as negligent on his part. In fact, it's onus. So, okay. So the Gemara now is going to challenge Rabbah's position. So again, Rabbah now is saying that by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Sachar, as long as you do things textbook, and by textbook we mean anything that's normally done by shepherds, where the animals graze, taking a break, even taking a nap, if this is standard normal practice, so then if something were to happen, that falls under the category of onis. As long as you did it the way people normally do it. So the Gemara says, on that I'm going to ask you the following question, and that is, Elohim Onsen, Shomer Sachar Pato Aleihem Kigon. Let's give descriptions of an onus that a Shomer Sachar would be exempt from. And that is, quoting a pasuk from Eov, Vatipol Sheva Vatikachem Vesanarim Hiku Lefi Charev, where basically you are attacked, and people are taking, and Hiku Lefi Charev, and people were killed. And as a result of that, money was taken. And possessions were taken. So that pasuk in Eov, what does that sound like? It sounds like in order for something to qualify as an ones, you have to be in a situation in which you have to be on constant guard and constant alert, and only when your life is threatened, then and only then does it fall into the category of ones. Short of that, it's not an ones. Now, can you imagine these examples of Rabbah taking a coffee break, taking a nap, and that's considered ones? That's far from the pasuk in Eov. So Amalei Hasan bechazanim asa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there we're talking about chazanim. Chazanim over here, not cantors. Chazanim over here, meaning people responsible to watch the city. Rashi writes, Shomrei Ha'ir Balayla, Shekol Smach Anshei Ha'ir Aleihem. People who are paid to watch the city at night. People, the city's counting on them. Lishmar gufam mamonam, and they're protecting the people's lives and people's monies. Hanu vade ba'u netira seyesera, meaning that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to watch people and possessions. So then they're expected to watch at all times. For them, the pasuk of Eov applies. But for a regular shepherd, who, in truth, yes, he's getting paid to watch, but but he's shepherding, so if it's normal to take a coffee break, you can do so. If it's normal to take a nap, so you can do so. Eitz for the Gemara challenges with another bright side. Masay Shomer Sachar Chayv Lishmor Ad Kedei Ayisi Vayom Achalani Chorei VeKerech BaLayla. We turn to Yaakov Avinu, and when he talks to his father-in-law, when he finally talks to his father-in-law, so he says to him, "You know, I was on the job all the time, so." Right, it was ice cold that night, and I was watching. Yaakov Avinu sounds like he was on alert all the time. Now, he was a Shomer Sachar, he was a paid watchman, meaning he got paid for the job that he did, but he didn't take a break, and he admits, He's proud of the fact that he didn't take a break. And so isn't that now the bar that's set in terms of what a Shomer Sachar should be? So the Gemara says, well, you know, Yaakov Avinu, so he was paid to be the watchman of a city. So Yaakov Avinu Chaza Masa Hava? Gemara says, really? Really? That was his job? So the Gemara says, well, not exactly, but he said to Lavan, Nachulacha nitirusa yaserasa ki chazane masa. What he said to his father-in-law was, I'm going to be on the guard like chazane masa, like we'll talk about later this morning. Right? You make it tonight, you make a condition, so even though there is a standard guideline of what every category is responsible for, but if you take on either extra responsibility or less responsibility, as long as it's negotiated from the beginning, so that's it, you're bound by that. Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, I'm going to take on extra responsibility. I'm going to be like Chazan Masa, and therefore I'm going to always be on guard. To that, the Gemara says, so that's the case of Yaakov Avinu, so that's why he said to his father-in-law, I was always on guard, because that's what he agreed to do. Eitzvei. Gemara challenges with another brisa. Roish ayiro avinia chedro uvalair. Let's say you had a shepherd who was shepherding, and he went into the city ubaze v'taraf, and along comes a wolf, and the wolf is toreif. Kills one of the animals. Ba arivadaras, or a lion came. Ein om dim ilu hayasham hayamatzel. So here's what we don't say. We don't say, well, let's see. If you were there, would you have been able to save? Ela om dim also im yachol lahatzil chaya v'imlav pater. So we don't. The theoretical question we don't ask is, well, should he have been there? Should he not been there? The theoretical question that we ask is, what if he was there? If he was there, what would have been the outcome? Was the outcome of saving or not saving? So, so what happened basically is that he went on break, and the question we're asking, and along comes either a lion or a wolf and attacks one of the animals, kills one of the animals, and the question that we're asking is, had he been there, what would have been the outcome? Right. Now the Gemara says, think about this. Basically what we're saying is, you really should have been there. That's what we're saying. And then we're only left guessing. Well, not guessing. We're going to approximate. We're going to guesstimate what would have happened had you have been there. Right. But really, you should have been there. And this really calls into question of Rabbah. Because Rabbah told us that as long as you're doing things the way people normally do so this is not considered an ones. Or I should say better, it is considered an ones. So the Gemara says, my love, da'al be'inna da'ali inshe. Now, clearly this person took a break. When did he take a break? Did he take it when people normally do? So if so, so according to Rabbah, he should be exempt. Period. So the Gemara says, lo da al b'inna de la al inshe. So the Gemara says, well, he took a break when it was not the right time to take a break. So in other words, so he didn't follow the textbook. He didn't do the way people did it. He took an extra break, or a break when it wasn't supposed to take a break. Then we have to ask the questions, well, what would have happened had he been there? So he hachem ipatut chilas b'pshiyav esof abones chayev. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then we don't ask the question, what would have happened had he been there? If you leave when you're not supposed to. So now, at that point in time, it's chilaso bipshia. So, yes, eventually what happened is the lion came. And maybe had you been there, there's nothing you could have done. But because you left it unattended at a time when you weren't supposed to go, that's an act of negligence. A subsequent action, even though it's not negligence, is considered liable. Now, this is what's called chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onis. Now, it's true the Gemara does debate in a number of places whether or not chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onis is chayev or pater. That's true, but let's assume right now that you're going to be chayev. Right? That's what our Gemara is assuming. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then he's got no defense for himself. He left when he shouldn't have left, and yes, a lion or a wolf came, but you got nothing to say for yourself. It's chilasa b'pshia. So the Gemara says, "Deshama kol aryeh va'al." So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why he left. He left because he heard the lion roar. So the Gemara says, he didn't just leave on his own and it's an act of negligence. He left because he heard the lion. So yachi omdenoso, so ma have a little mavis. So the Gemara says, so then, what kind of questions are we asking? We know why he left. He heard a lion, scared for his life. He ran away. What else was he supposed to do? So the Gemara says, Havalei lekadim b'roma maklos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what he should have done. He should have gotten together right? The chevra, the other shepherds with sticks and basically fight the lion. So the Gemara says, "Yachim, I yiri shomer sacher, afilu shomer chinam nami." The hamar hu damer shomer chinam shayilu lekadim berom of makos velo kidem chayiv. So the Gemara says, "Well, if that's true, then we shouldn't make any kind of distinction between a shomer sacher and a shomer chinam." Meaning, we know that a shomer chinam had given the opportunity to amass the crowd, right? Gather the members of the community, sticks and fight off the lion. So fight them, and a shomer chinam needs to do the same thing as well. So then, if we're right with all of our conjecture and all of our ukimta, so then there really is no difference between a shomer sacher and a shomer chinam. And obviously, the entire point of the brisa was to highlight that this is what a shomer sacher is going to be chayav for, and a shomer chinam is not going to be chayav for. So the Gemara says shomer chinam bechinam, shomer sacher besacher. And the Gemara makes a very interesting distinction. It's very interesting. Look, you're a shomer chinam, okay? And in comes a lion. So you're asked to watch animals for nothing, and a lion comes. Now, yes, it's true that what you should do is you should rally the troops.
But you don't have to pay them.
But basically, you're a volunteer, so the troops also have to come on a volunteer basis. So if the troops say, in other words, here you go back into town and say, look, we have a lion out there, and we need to fight him. Who's with me? And, of course, I'm not getting paid, so none of you are going to get paid either. So who on a volunteer basis is ready to fight with me on the lions? So under those circumstances, as long as he does that, he'll be off the hook. Now, if they decide to come in with him, great. And if not, he's not going to be liable. But you see with the shomer sacher, he has to go into town and he has to say, look, I got a lion out there and we need to fight him. And I'm going to pay people to come with me. Now, we'll clarify in just a moment. Is that coming out of his pocket? Or is that ultimately going to come out of the owner's pocket? And we'll clarify that point in just a second. But the Gemara is saying, but for the shomer sacher, it's his responsibility to go collect the crowd, gather the masses, but actually offer them money. And that's the distinction between a shomer chinam and a shomer sacher. And that's the great line of the Gemara, shomer chinam bechinam, and shomer sacher besacher. So the Gemara says, va'ad kama. Okay. So, shomer sacher now has to go rally the troops and he's got to go offer money. How much money does he have to offer? Again, we talk about a cap. How much money does he need to throw in the faces of the crowd? So, ad kedei demayim. So the Gemara says, and it's kind of intuitive and it's instinctive, well, don't pay more for them what the animals are worth. Look, the whole reason why we want to chase a lion away is to save the animals. So, the amount that he's going to pay them cannot exceed the animals. Now, at this point, the Gemara is thinking that ultimately the shomer sacher is going to have to pay for it. Okay, now, even that is a hav, I mean, it's difficult to understand, but right now that's what the Gemara is thinking, which prompts the Gemara to ask the next question. I don't understand. A shomer sacher is going to be chai ba'ones, he's going to be chai for something which is unforeseen? Meaning, can you imagine, a lion came, on his own, there's no reason why he has to stand up to the lion. In fact, he's not expected to stand up to the lion. And so what he's expected to do is to go back to the community, ask for help, for support, offer them money. All this really falls under the category of onis, doesn't it? And he's going to be chayav in such a situation. So the Gemara says, "Dahadur shakal demayimi balabayis." So this is now the clarification point. He's not paying for it, meaning he's putting up the money, but he is going to get a full reimbursement from the Baal Bais for everything that he paid. And so the Gemara says, now with that clarification, this is not a case of onus, meaning you're not really expected to pay the people, you're just expected to gather them in order to fight back the lion, but of course none of this is really coming out of your pocket, this is coming out of the owner's pocket. Therefore, it doesn't fall into category of onus, therefore you're expected to do this. So the Gemara says, with all that clarified, so then the Gemara says, okay, now I just have a simple financial question to ask. Is this going to be worth it to the owner? Meaning, consider. We have a lion out there. The shomer sacher now is expected to hire people. It's not going to be his money. It'll be the owner's money. But to hire people up to the value of the animals. So now, I just hired people up to the value of the animal. So now, to save his own animals, the owner is going to have to pay the full value of his animals to save the animal.
So what is he?
What did he gain?
Right.
So it's a financial question now. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Nafkamina lekushra dechiyusa. So the Gemara says, first of all, the Gemara says, there are two things to consider. Number one, the behavior of the animals. Meaning, these animals that you've had so far, they've been domiciled. Mm-hmm. They've been domesticated. And good. So now he's going to have to get animals anew, and he's got to train them, and he's got to housebreak them. So thank you, but no thank you. Meaning, yes, it's worth it to me to save these animals, even at cost, because at least these animals will behave. That's one consideration. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you another consideration. Let's say that these animals were devoured by the lion, and I have to get new animals. It's still worth it to me for pay for them at cost, because if I had to get new animals, that's schlepping, that is travel expense. In other words, all the expenses outside the cost of the animals. So, yes, it's worth it to the owner to save these animals up to the cost of the animals, even from a financial consideration. Rav Chista v'Rabbi Rav Huna lo svir lehu hadarabba. Okay, Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna do not hold of Rabba. Remember, our starting point of this discussion of the Gemara started with a comment by Rabba on the very bottom of the previous Amud to the very top of this Amud. And that is that Rabba says, as long as you follow normal behavior, anything that happens outside of that is considered onus. You take a coffee break and something happens during your coffee break, you're fine. We're talking about a Shomer Sachar. You take a nap, but it's siesta and everyone else is taking a nap. So Rabba says that's fine. Even though you're a paid custodian. The Gemara says that there are Amoraim who do not agree with this basic presumption. Rav Chista and Rav Baravuna say no. Lo svir luhu hadarabba d'amir lahachi yavi lach agra l'nitur lach nitirusa yisei rasa. Why do you think we're paying you? We're paying you so that you don't conduct yourself like regular people do. We're paying you so that you get, you're more responsible and you are going to be more of a watchman. That's why we pay you. So, according to these Amoraim, Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna, so they're going to disagree with the very premise of Rabba. If you're taking a coffee break, you're going to be liable. If you're taking a nap, and even though everyone else is taking a nap, you're going to be liable. Bar Abba Savula have a kamaver chiyusa gemala denarash. The Gemara follows us up with the story where Bar Abba was taking animals up the Narash path. Now, the path was very narrow, and as the animals were going, one animal pushed another animal, v'shadisa b'maya, and the animal fell into the water, and the animal died. And asala kamei de rapapa, and they go to rapapa for a ruling. Is the custodian responsible? He's the paid watchman. So chayva. So he said, you're going to be chayva under such circumstances. Amrle mai havale lemevad. So he says, well, what do you think I should have done? Amrle yibaylech lavur echadachata. He says, so Rav Papa says, what do you mean what you should have done? It was an arrow path. The animal should have gone one at a time. Now, granted, that would have been extraordinarily slow and tired and tedious and et cetera, but that's what you should have done. So he says, well, I happen to know that your nephew, right, the son of your sister, so he also should be sending them one by one. In other words, and he doesn't do that.
Nobody.
So, and nobody does that. And basically what he's arguing is, it's a standard practice.
Yeah.
And I'm doing what is standard practice. Meaning, you're telling me I could have been more careful? No, I'm not going to argue with you. But what I'm telling you is that this is what people do. And again, we go back to the premise of Rambo. As long as you're doing what is standard practice, even though he could have been more careful, but the standard practice, and therefore I should be exempt. So he says, well, other people have cried out, and no one listens to you. So the meaning that okay, I've heard that argument before. That argument doesn't move me. Meaning, I don't subscribe to the rule of Rabba. Rabba's rule that as long as you're following standard practice, you're fine. No, I don't agree. I agree with Rav Chista, with Rav Chista, with Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that even if it's standard practice, as long as there is room for you to have been more careful, well, that's why you got paid. You got paid to be more careful, and therefore you're going to be liable under such circumstances. Next, Aibu ifke kitna be Runya. Aibu entrusted a man by the name of Runya to watch some linen, some flax. Important detail in the story, he is a Shomer Chinam. Azal Shavu Shamte Minei. Along comes a man by the name of Shavu, and he was a robber, known robber, and Shamte Minei. And he took it from him. So he stole it. He stole the flax. The Sov Hoker Haganov. Now, it was later discovered that Shavu was the one who stole it. So Asa Lekamei to Rav Nachman, and they go to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman's response was Chayve. So he obligated him. Now, obviously, we want to know which him did he obligate. It's an important detail. So obviously, he's not talking about the thief. The thief obviously has to return it. It's not the chiddush is not going on the thief, but rather the chiddush is going on the shomer. It's going to be the shomer's responsibility to reimburse the owner, and the shomer is going to have to now chase down the ganav, take the ganav to court, and it will be the shomer's responsibility. Okay. And as Rashi points out, under normal circumstances, we're not going to say that. Meaning, if we don't know who the ganav is, he's a shomer chinam. He's going to be pater. But now that we know who the ganav is, so it's going to be the shomer's responsibility to reimburse, and he's going to have to go through all the trouble of taking the thief to court. Now, lema pligi de Rav Huna bar Avin. So the Gemara says, now, ostensibly, this goes against a statement made by Rav Huna bar Avin. Deshalach Rav Huna bar Avin nignava ba'ones v'achaka chuga arganav, that if something was stolen ba'ones, and later on we've learned who the ganav is, im shomer chinam hu, ratza nishba ratza osim odin. So if you're a shomer chinam, so you could do one of two things. You can make a shvua, totally excusing and exempting yourself, and if you are, or you can pay and take the man to court, and name shomer sachar hu osa imo din ve'eno nishba. But if you're a shomer sachar, so then you have no choice, meaning you're going to be liable. So therefore, you're going to pay the owner, and you're going to have to take the man to court. But anyway, we just learned together that if you're a shomer chinam, you have options. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Rav Nachman did not give this the shomer chinam options. The ganav said, "Look, you're going to be liable. You're going to have to. We know who the ganav is. You're going to have to reimburse the owner, and you're going to have to deal with the ganav." And why would Rav Nachman say that? We just learned together that a shomer chinam has options. Amarava Hasam Gavre de Parmuska Havu Kaime. So Rava says, "No, this case was different." Mm-hmm. It was different because there were basically policemen right there. At the time of theft, so the policemen were right there, and had the shomer, granted he was the shomer chinam, but had he just did a simple thing like shout out, "Hey, stop, thief," right, and point to the policeman and say, "Look, I got a guy, right? We have a robbery in progress." So if he would have done that, so then he wouldn't have taken it, and therefore this falls under the category of pshia. This is now negligence, and we know that a shomer chinam is going to be liable for negligence. And so with that important detail, now we know that Rav Nachman was stringent in this case, but the reason why he was machmir is because this was the case of pshia. But that's an important detail. Okay. All right. Those last gemaras that we did are so important, so critical. It really gives us the basic parameters of what's considered ones, what's considered pshia. Really, the gemaras could have gotten on, meaning in terms of giving us more examples, more case studies of what falls in the category of pshia ones. We continue. We are starting with the Mishnah on the very bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Ze'ev echad eino ones. One wolf is not considered an ones, meaning that if you are standing up against a single wolf, so you, the shomer, have the responsibility of taking that wolf on. Okay, let's just say like this: if you want to be a shomer, so you need to have a measure of bravery. It's a prerequisite to be a shomer. You are expected to fight off one wolf. Okay. So zeva chadena ones. So that's not considered an ones. So if you're the kind of shomer who is not going to be excused for ones, so so you need to fight that one wolf. Okay. Shnei zeivim.
The responsibility of the owner. I mean, he took a shomer. That's his fault.
Right.
Right.
Well, okay. Again.
Why the
Mishnah is giving us basic expectations.
But the owner also has to investigate. Are you brave enough to...
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
I suppose. I suppose. Okay. Shnei ze'evim ones. Now, two wolves at that point in time, that is considered an ones. So as long as you are the kind of person that's going to be patame ones, so then you could say that was two wolves that I was fighting, and I'm not fighting two wolves, and so therefore I sacrificed your animal. And not literally, but yes. In other words, rather the animals than me. Okay. Mind you, by the way, of course, that a shoal is going to be chayv an ones. So, in other words, there really are, of course, two things you always need to ask, and that is, you know, was it an ones, was it not, and who are you, the shomer? If you're a shomer chinam, you're a shomer sachar, so you're going to be pater an ones. If you're a shoal, you're going to be chayv an ones. Okay. Rav Yehuda Omer, bishas mashlacha ze'evim, av ze'ev echad ones. Rav Yehuda makes the following stipulation. Let's say it's mashlachas. Let's say the wolves were sent. Okay, they were launched. The wolves are on the offensive. Right? The king sends the wolves. Okay, I don't know why a king would do that. I only say king because that's what Rashi says. Okay, anyway. So the wolves are on the offensive. So if the wolves are in attack mode, so at that point in time, even one wolf is considered a nones. You're not expected to stand up against one wolf.
The king is really referring to Hashem. It's like a divine act.
I was thinking that when I read the Rashi. Yeah. Who does he quote?
Rashi.
I didn't say, but he's saying that. It's so funny. I was thinking that when I was reading Rashi, and I'm like, nah, that can't be. Okay, good. Okay, good. All right, anyway. Okay, I was excited.
A time of famine.
Okay, fine. Okay, it's so funny. I had that thought when I read Rashi, and I just rejected it. Okay, fine. Shnei klavim ein ones. Sorry, what just happened? Shnei klavim ein ones. Okay, two dogs is not considered an ones. I know we have a reputation of not liking dogs. I happen to be. I don't want to generalize, but I'm not. I don't fall into the general. Meaning, I like dogs. I'm okay with dogs. I don't own a dog, but that's because I just don't want the responsibility. But shnei klavim ein ones. Two dogs is not considered an ones. You need to stand up to those two dogs. Yadua Bavli, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Meruach Achas Eina Ones, Mishte Ruchos Ones. Well, it depends if they're coming in from one direction or two directions. If it's one direction, so you got to fight those two dogs. You should be able to fend them off. But if there are two dogs that are coming from two different directions, right. So at that point in time, that's something where you could say, okay, I'm out. You could tap out of that one. And you're not expected to fight the two dogs coming from two different directions. Halisim Hareze Ones. What, now Rashi takes out the yud over here, singular. So if it's one robber, you got to stand up to that one robber. It's a one-on-one. Okay, you got to fight him. So ha'ari v'hado v'hanamir v'habardalas v'hanachash hare ela ones. If there are animals like lion, bear, leopard, bardalas, right? Remember the beginning of Baba Kama, right? We try to figure out what a bardalas was. Okay.
Go. That's
a cheetah. Okay, good. All right, anyway, all I remember is the beginning of Baba Kama, the Gemara had the same discussion of what a bardalas was. And a nachash and a snake. Hare elu ones. So these are all categories of ones. I mean, these are obviously extraordinarily offensive. I mean,
dangerous.
Right, dangerous.
Predator.
Thank you, that's a better word. Predatory animals, and so therefore, you're not expected to stand up to them, and therefore you say to the owner, look, I'm really sorry, bear. And we all understand. Now the Gemara says, that's if they bring the fight to you. What if you bring the animals to the fight? Right? You bring the animals to a place where bears are there and snakes are there, etc., etc. That is not considered ones. You're a poshea. You shouldn't have taken the animals there. Continuing. Mesa kadarka hariza ones. If the animal dies a quote-unquote normal death, a natural death, so that falls under the category of ones. So again, under most circumstances, you're going to be exempt. Again, just a quick reminder. If you're a shoel, you're not going to be exempt. Okay. Safka umesa, eino ones. Let's say you afflicted the animal by starving the animal, or you left it out in the hot sun, or you left it out in the cold snow. So you were ma'ane. You afflicted the animal. You abused the animal. So that does not fall under the category of ones. Kind of intuitive, but the Mishnah says it. Alta l'rosh et sukim v'nafla reza ones. Hela l'rosh et sukim v'nafla umesa ina ones. On its own, the animal went up a cliff. That falls under the category of ones. If you took it up the cliff, so that does not fall under the category of ones. So again, Mishnah over here, important Mishnah, detailing examples of what is and what is not ones. The Gemara starts off, V'atanya zev echad ones. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says that one zev is considered an ones, and our Mishnah says that one zev is not considered an ones. You are expected to fight the wolf. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I eat b'shas mashlech zev and Rav Yehudi. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says very easy. The brisa we just quoted is where the king sent out the wolves, and now I could say it, capital K. The king sent out the wolves, and the as we learned back in the Mishnah, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so then you're not even expected to fight one wolf when they're on the offensive. Halisa marries the ones. Now the robber. So what we learn in the Mishnah is that one robber, you're expected to stand up to the one robber. So Amai Luki Gavra Lahadi Gavra. So the Gemara says, sorry. Let me say that again. Let me say it correctly. Sorry. So, no. The Mishnah says listim is considered ones. Sorry. You're not expected. Okay. I'm now making a correction. You're not expected to fight that one person. When I was reading the Mishnah, what I did is I was thinking about this Gemara. Okay, now everything's clear. So Amai, the Gemara says, so why aren't you expected to fight him? So Luki Garva Lahadi Garva. The Gemara's question now is, you should be fighting him. You're a shepherd. Okay, you're strong, you're brave, you're confident. That's one robber. So take him on. So Amar Rav Belistim Mizuyan. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you why. So he's armed. Okay. So when he's armed, so then you're not expected to fight him. And that's what the Mishnah is describing. Okay, good. Now I got everything clear. So Ibailu Belistim Mizuyan Verom Mizuyan Mahu. Oh, Gemara asks such a good question. So let's say he's armed and you're armed. Good? Okay, so now, right, so it's a duel. Okay. So, mi amin anuki garva lahadi garva. So now do we say, look, it's a fair fight. It's a fair fight. So you're expected to take him on. Odil mahai masin afshe, mahai lo masin afshe. Or the Gemara says, no. Look at the stakes over here. Meaning, he's coming at you, and he's armed, and quite frankly, he's ready to give up his life. You're a shepherd. Now, I understood that there are hazards of being a shepherd. And it's dangerous. But do you have to give up your life for the job? Meaning you're expected to fight, but you're not expected to give up your life. So the Gemara says, Mistar b'dai masin afshe, b'hai lo masin afshe. Gemara says, I like that svara. That's a good svara. Meaning he's coming and he's ready to sacrifice his life, and you're not expected to do so. So if he's armed and you're armed, so you don't have to fight to the death, and therefore this falls under the category of onis. So let's say we have the following circumstance. The shepherd says the following to the ganav, basically bombastic, right? Almost like taunting the ganav. Amalei ganav sarye, you bad ganav. Beduch the panan yasinan. You know we're in such and such a place. Kach v'kach gavri ika ba'adan. Kach v'kach kalbe ika ba'adan. Kach v'kach zukasa psika lan. You know, like, don't you dare. We're this many people. We have dogs. We have weapons. Don't you dare come at us. And so in your bravado, you're provoking him. But at the same time, what you're really trying to do is you're trying to fend him off with the provocation. So the Gemara says, and what does he do? V'azav v'shakal minei mai. And he's like, oh, really? A challenge. I love a challenge. And he comes at you. And he steals. And, of course, you were just being totally bombastic. You didn't have any of that. And again, but you're taunting him was done for the good intention of trying him to go away. Nevertheless, with all said and done, what would be the halacha under those circumstances? Amalei hare holicha lamakam gedu dechaya velistim. It's comparable to you bringing the animals to the fight. We learned back in the Mishnah that if the animal, the bear, the lion, etc., if they come and they confront you, that's ones. But if you bring it to them, so that is going to be a case of pshia. And over here, yes, your intentions were the best of intentions, but really, that's an act of poshea, and Rava says you would be chai. Let's start the next mission. Let's not fall further behind. Master Shomachinam Lios Pater Mishvua, Vashol Lios Pater Milashalim. Now, a Shomachinam can make the following negotiation with the owner. You know what? If something happens, I don't want to have to make a Shvua. Right? Which is understandable. Going to court, holding a Sefer Torah, making a Shvua, Shem Hashem, look, do me a favor, I want to take a pass on that. You can negotiate that. And the borrower says, look, I want to borrow your item, and if an ones happens, I don't want to have to pay. So again, you can negotiate that. So no sechach v'asoch lios p'tur mishvua umilashalem, and he knows a sechach and a socher can excuse himself from having to make a shvua and also paying. Kol amas amashakas b'torah tonight bato. The Mishnah says that if you make it tonight, that goes against the Torah, so your Tanai is going to be batal. The condition is going to be batal. V'chol Tanai sheyesh ma'isa b'tchilaso, Tanai batal. And if you have a condition where the action came before the condition, so the Tanai is going to be batal. V'chol she'efshar lo l'kayma b'sofo, v'yisno ma b'tchilaso, Tanai kayim. And if the Tanai came before the Maisa, so the Tanai is going to be Kayim. Okay, what is going on over here? So this takes us back to the Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Gemara over here goes over it again. We're talking about the standard practice of how to make a correct condition. Meaning, Rashi, Kol Tanai Sheish Ba Maisa B'Tchilaso Sheik De Maisa She Alav La'asos La Tanai Shu Shalmi Menu. If you put the condition after the action, so that's not a good condition. Kigon Hari Maisa Zeshecha Im Ta'ase Davar. This will belong to you if you meet the following condition. So Im Ta'ase Davar Ploni Delo Dam La Tanai B'nei Gab B'nei Ruvin. In order for tonight to be successful tonight, you have to follow the condition set by God and Ruvin. Im Yavru Unisatem Hainu Tanai Kodala Maisa. First you'll cross the Jordan and you'll fight with us, then you'll get Aver Hayardain. So Im Tasili Adavarza Ashuva Eratzonacha. Haisa Tanai Shashomi Menu Kodala Maisa Shallah Lasos. So that is the proper formula. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you don't put the Tanai in the proper formula, it's not going to be a Tanai. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara. We're going to be discussing how to understand the Pshat and the Mishnah. How can you make it tonight that goes against the parameters that the Torah gives us? Some most basic discussions that we're having in the beginning of tomorrow's daf.